Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Liminal Lands, an episode I'm calling Routine Maintenance. Quickly, before today's episode begins, I do have a couple of shoutouts for new patrons. Sharon, who is a descendant of a Yukiona, and Aaron Fox, who is 25% Enfield. Guys, thank you so much for becoming patrons. It really means the world to me. Now, enjoy the show. Okay, dear hypothetical future listeners, for lack of a better word, shoes are made. Moccasins? Yeah, well, let's go with moccasins. I think that's more accurate. And I did make two, even though I still have one good boot, and there's a reason for that. The sole of my boot makes that foot sit up way higher. It's like, you know, just wearing one shoe. Have you tried that? Just walking around with one shoe on? It's hard enough walking a straight line in the woods as it is, but if one leg's like literally 2 inches longer than the other, I'd end up just walking in big circles. Oh God, I just had a memory hit me like a Mack truck. This one's embarrassing, but I brought it up, so I guess I'll go ahead and tell it. Once, when I was a young'un, my dad told me that goats have shorter legs on one side than the other. He told me that they evolved this way so that they could stand on mountains and be level. It made sense to little kid me, so I never questioned it. In my mind, goats just had one set of legs shorter than the other. I believed this all the way until high school. Okay, guys, so we went on a field trip, and one of the attractions was a petting zoo. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but my wife was actually my high school sweetheart. The look on her face, y'all, when I asked her if she thought they put stuff in the goat pen for it to put its short side legs on so it doesn't always lean, I can't even describe that face. And don't think she's ever let me forget it either. Even now, all these years later, we'll see a goat somewhere, and she'll just start leaning way over. So yeah, in an effort to not be like I imagined those goats to be, I made two moccasins. They aren't exactly what I would call extremely comfortable or the height of fashion, but I think they're gonna work. They're serviceable. Trust me when I say that having crunchy soles of your shoes is bizarre, but so far it's protecting my feet pretty well. I've walked around a bit, and the bark in between the layers of leather is working really, really well. I think I'll have to replace it every so often, but I mean, that's not a big problem. So I've solved my shoe issue, one of my two main concerns, and it's taken care of. And with it taken care of, hopefully I can do something about my second concern right now, which is food. I desperately need to find something to eat. I'm getting weak and weaker by the second. I really want to be moving on. I really do. The urge to go north right now is incredible. But I'm almost certain it's the wrong decision. I think what I need to do, my best play, as it were, is to basically set up camp here for a day, or however long it takes, to get myself as healthy as possible. I've brought it up before, but if my ultimate goal is to make it home, and it is, staying put seems really counterintuitive to be the best way to do that quickly, but I think it is. I've got to look at this as an extended survival situation. Normally, you're supposed to stay in place. That won't work here. But otherwise, my priorities should still stay the same. I've got lots of water. That isn't a big concern at this moment. So shelter, protection from the elements. I think that's the best plan. So I build myself a shelter and then try and take care of it. I can plan on staying here a couple of days. I'm kind of thinking of it as some complicated equation right now, with lots of variables, and I'm trying to balance it. The effort I put into building a shelter can be justified if I come out the other side in better shape than I am now. Even if I look at it as a calories expended thing, if I can stay here and rest, and also do a little bit of hunting and get a little bit extra, I still come out ahead. Shit. I literally just talked myself out of hunting, pushing off eating even longer. Oh shit. Can you guys hear that? Here, let me move this around a little bit. Can you guys hear that? That's friggin' music is what that is. If you don't recognize it, that's a squirrel barking. Hell yes. There is food to be had out here. If I can just catch it. Unless... Where the hell is Rich? Rich? Is that you screwing... Oh. No, there you are. Okay, it isn't Rich. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to imitate a squirrel. I was really thinking about squirrels right now. But no, he's kind of slinking around the edge of the clearing. He definitely isn't the one making the noise. He's kind of opposite where it's coming from. Or he was. He's moving in that direction now. And now he's out of sight. So yeah, that squirrel is a damn good sign. I might get to eat today after all. What the? Oh shit, Rich. Ugh, Rich must have gotten it. Damn it. Oh shit, I really, really hope that wasn't the only one. Still, I mean, I guess Rich has to eat too. And he isn't trying to eat me anymore. I'm just going to have to hope there wasn't just one. Ugh. But okay, whatever. Couldn't hunt right now anyways. First things first, I need to figure out shelter. If I've talked myself into staying here for a couple of days, I need shelter, a base of operations. Okay, let me think. A lean-to is probably the best bet. But where do I put it? Put it right here in the middle of this clearing? No, I don't think so. Okay, HFLs, I think being in the woods will help by, like, creating a bit of a windbreak. Oh, shit. I don't have my sleeping bag. Oh, my God. Not having it wasn't that big of a deal while I was deep in the cave. The temperature in a cave is warmer, and there isn't much wind. Shit. Oh, damn it. Okay, yeah. Shelter is way more important without a tent or sleeping bag. How couldn't this shit have happened to me in summer? Okay, so, which way is the wind coming from right now? Little pro tip. If you can't easily tell which way the wind is coming from, lick your finger and hold it up. Somehow it makes your finger more sensitive, and it's easier to course where it's coming from. I have no idea why, but whichever side of your finger is colder is where the wind is coming from. And in this case, it's coming from west-ish. I guess I put my lean-to over there. Shit, I'm pointing again. Over at the edge of the clearing. I think I can build my shelter right at the tree line. That gives me a bit of a windbreak, and I can have the fire in the clearing, sort of. I'll have, like, every part of my lean-to covered and just have one opening facing the fire. Okay, HFLs, I've got a plan. I'm going to go gather supplies. I'm going to need enough wood for a fire that will last the night, and enough to build my lean-to. I'm also going to need enough rocks for a fire ring, and leaves. I need a bunch of leaves. I'll talk to you guys here in a little bit. Okay, HFLs, I just want to say, I have never in my life been happier that my knife has a serrated edge on the back. I haven't been able to find quite enough fallen wood. I have plenty for a fire, but without traveling way too far from my little clearing, not enough to build my lean-to. So I'm cutting down some saplings to fill in. I could do it without the serrated bit, but this is just making my life so much easier. And I just found the perfect sapling. It's about as big around as my forearm, and it forks perfectly in half about 3 feet up. It kind of looks like a homemade slingshot if it were for a giant. Oh, good Lord. Do you ever have one of those moments where reality sort of hits you in the face and you just have to take a second or a minute? What the hell? It wasn't long ago I had a small amount of excitement because I had talked my wife into letting me buy a new game console. But I was just a little excited. And now? Well, now I'm damn near giddy that I found a sapling that's just right. Like, so excited I had to tell someone, so I got out my tape recorder to tell people that may or may not eventually hear it. Life is weird. But shit. Whatever. It is what it is. I can't change it. God grant me the serenity, or however that goes. I'm still friggin' excited about the sapling. I'll talk to you guys back at camp. Okay, HFLs, I'm almost done. But I need to take a break before I finish, so I'm gonna describe my setup a little bit. I'm actually really kind of proud of it. So, I have that sapling I cut down planted firmly into the ground. That's the front, the part facing towards the fire, where I'll get in and out. In the Y of it, where it splits, I placed a long, about 8 foot long, branch reaching back away from it into the woods, the other end of it resting on the ground. I tied it to my sapling with some paracord, of course, to keep it from falling on me in the middle of the night. That creates the base of my shelter, the outline, I guess. On the long stick that goes from the ground to the top of my sapling, I guess you'd call it the spine, I leaned a bunch of other sticks on both sides going both ways. Those are like the walls. So my shelter is about 3 foot tall, 8 foot deep, and about 4 to 5 feet wide. Welcome to Shea Soko. Not exactly the Waldorf Astoria, but it's gorgeous to me. For now, this is home. About a foot from the opening, I've got my fire ring set up. And I have extra rocks, too. I managed to find some decent-sized rocks that are big, but just small enough I could carry. I've got them on what is like the backside of the fire. My hope is that these rocks will reflect the heat from the fire back to me, instead of radiating it out into the world beyond. Keep me from freezing to death tonight. I'm also planning on heating up some extra fist-sized rocks that I found, and when I lay down to try and get some sleep, I'll bring them into Shea Soko with me. I highly doubt that I'll actually be comfortable, but maybe I won't turn into a human popsicle. Okay, I think I've rested enough to get on with the rest of it. Time for me to play with some leaves. I'm going to shove a whole bunch of leaves inside Shea Soko, create a bit of a boundary between me and the ground. I think I remember reading somewhere that most of your body heat will escape through the ground, so hopefully the leaves will provide a bit of insulation, as well as being a bit softer to sleep on. I'm also going to cover my lean-to in leaves, even more insulation. I don't want to survive everything I have so far just to freeze to death. I mean, I can totally see that happening. I just don't want to go out like a chump. All of the leaves should help me stay warm. They'll help me stay really warm if an errant spark from the fire finds them. Ah, like that saying goes, build a man a fire, he'll stay warm for the night. Set a man on fire, and he'll stay warm the rest of his life. But there's only so much I can do, so I'm going to try not to worry about that. But yeah, right now I'm going to go play with leaves. You guys don't need to hear that. I'll catch up here in a bit. Okay, hypothetical future listeners. I finished Shea Soko. It looks about as good as you would expect. Which is to say, it looks like I'm going to freeze my balls off all night. It looks like a strong wind would blow it over. It looks like it was made by the fourth little piggy that was too dumb to even put in the story, because he made his house out of leaves, and it didn't even last long enough for the big bad wolf to huff and puff and blow it down. Despite all that, I think it's going to work. Oh, but while I was finishing up, there's been a development. I was working on this, and I noticed Rich had come incredibly close to me. Probably only about 10 yards from me, just sitting, staring at me, I think. And that's really the closest he's ever been since well, since we were stuck in that barn together. As soon as I noticed, Rich got up, circled a few times, dropped something, then took off. I went over to see what it was Rich had dropped. And I don't know if this was intentional or what. I don't actually know how much Rich actually thinks. I think I'm starting to anthropomorphize a nightmare creature. But whether intentional or not, Rich has actually provided me with sustenance. A bit gross if I'm going to be honest, but sustenance. What Rich dropped was a half-eaten squirrel. The back half of a half-eaten squirrel, to be specific. It's kind of gruesome, just gnawed in half, but beggars can't be choosers. I can't say no to this gift. By all rights, I should take this immediately back to camp, cook the hell out of it, and eat it. Boil the bones. Get as much out of this as I can. But it might be worth it to take a risk with it. It's possible that I could take this meager bounty and turn it into way, way more. It's just another math problem I'm not equipped to answer. My stomach is urging me to go right now and cook it. Ah, damn it. I think I have to risk it. This feels like I'm at the craps table, and I just decided to put my entire life savings all on black. And it's literally the back half of a half-eaten squirrel. Screw it. I'm gonna risk it. Let's put it all on black and spin that fucking wheel.
I'm going away, but I won't come back on a lonesome railroad line. But I can't forget that sweet little girl who sleeps in the pines.
As always, thank you for listening. And to those of you that have already left a review or mentioned it to somebody else, thank you for that too. This show has grown, and I didn't do it. You guys did. And so, yeah, thanks to all of you. If you want to support me, that's one of the best ways to do it. Share the show, give it good reviews. Word of mouth is really my best friend. Of course, if you want to support it monetarily, I'm never going to say no to people giving me money, and you can visit my Patreon at patreon.com/liminallands. This week, I'm listening to a show called Styx, and I gotta admit, it's one of the best shows I've listened to in a while. Do yourself a favor and listen to it. If you like detective shows, this is right up your alley. If you like horror shows, this is right up your alley. Honestly, I think it's right up everybody's alley. I'll have a link for that in the show notes, of course. And also, if you haven't checked out Kill FM4 yet, you really need to do that. This year, we got everybody back together from the original Kill FM1, and I think we all did a fantastic job. Of course, I'll have a link for that in the show notes as well. Until next time, beware of doorways.